Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hope everybody's doing well. I want to welcome everybody to the Unimpressed Podcast today. And we have a friend calling in from England, Mark Christopher Lee. And he just produced a film called Gods versus Aliens. And welcome to the show, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you for having me on, John. And hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, God versus aliens. I mean, I think there's a lot of narrative there on how things are conveyed in the world today as we know it. So looking at this, you know, what's your mindset just coming up with that type of title?
You know, I come from, you know, I talk about it. I'm a Christian, so I come from that background. But I also believe there's something out there bigger than us that might be living elsewhere, either on other planets or in other dimensions. That's, you know, not human. And I think with what's going on, especially in the US at the moment in Congress, that we're getting ever closer towards disclosure of some sort, that we are not alone. And that in itself would have a profound impact on the religions of the world, including Christianity. And how are we going to deal with that? And this film was set up really to try and get people to, you know, have a debate about these issues, because, you know, it could be quite profound and it could be a massive paradigm shift. So I think we need to prepare ourselves. And like you said, there is an inference there, God versus aliens. Maybe God's good, aliens are evil. I don't know. We did go into that a little bit. And people like Tony Toppings, who's in the film, suggest there's a malevolent kind of demonic element to aliens. I think it's probably a bit more sophisticated than that. There's probably good and bad, as there are humans. So that's my take on it at the moment.
Well, I think it's energy, right? And I think when you speak about Tony, I think because Tony had such a rough childhood,
sure,
he had a lot of dark influences. And I think that sometimes can overshadow some of your thought process, because you're kind of coming out of a dark place into enlightenment.
Sure.
If you will. And and if you don't get rid of that darkness, it's going to be there with the human being, because I think a lot of this is tied to the individual.
Sure.
Right? I think there's a narrative. And then I think you look at the individual and what's the sensibilities of the individual and how's he telling his story. But in my experience, I've heard multiple stories with variants in each story that I hear from different types of people. But there's a lot of through lines that are very, very similar. And, you know, when you talk about religion and being a Christian, yes, I grew up in a Baptist church, Christian, but religions weren't religions until they made the name or defined the name, right?
Yeah.
So if you walk it back to when a religion started and we're just human beings, what's the narrative look like then?
Sure.
You know, because this has been crafted and perpetuated over thousands of years. Have you ever thought about something like that?
Yeah, I know religion is organized. You don't need to be able to believe in God, to pray to God, to have a church to do that, to follow. I understand that. But what you're saying is that the spiritual energy that's far older than religions, there is positive energy, positive forces, and there's dark forces. Is that what you're saying?
If you understand how things were created, right, and you come at things from a creation mindset, look at it from that standpoint. There was no defined direction for anybody. From creation. You know, we created these narratives and now we think we have to live by these gospels. And maybe the narratives that we've been told, you know, obviously was a lot of it was for control. Right.
True.
And the way those narratives have been conveyed may have set the stage for something that's not what's been conveyed. You know, aliens. Why do we call them aliens? So it's a very defensive name. In a way, or UFO. Why don't we call them ancient civilizations?
My kind of research is leading me into that that these aliens were already here, or possibly the original inhabitants of the planet, and maybe we're the hybrids. That's one possibility. There's profound issues here, I think. I mean, who created the universe? Are we talking God as an omnipotent being, or are we talking about aliens that created us? What are your thoughts on that?
I have quantum physics and things that I experience most of the time. And yeah, I think God created everything. I think there is a God. I think he created everything, because I had this thing about creating a pure source. Mm-hmm. And I've been writing this book about how to create a pure source with content, collecting data. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a pure source of data is demographics, which demographics can define the actions of a human being. And I always said the structure was linear to everything and everybody, because this thing I put together could reset your life, could reset your business, and it kind of gives you a pathway to get to consciousness. And the more I dug into that, this thing of creation of four came to me. And I talked to Samuel Chong, who's an interpreter who interpreted the Theoba prophecy. Mm-hmm. And I never talked to him before. And mm-hmm. I started talking about creation of four, and I was starting with the universe, because the universe is in four parts. Right. And then you go to the planets, you have four terrestrial planets, you have four gas planets. And I mm-hmm. think the way our planets have been defined is incorrect, mm-hmm. because you can see how the human body is tied to our planets. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at your senses, I think the gas planets were set up for your sensibilities of the human body, mm-hmm. because the moving parts of that mm-hmm. are the sun, the moon, and Pluto. Because if you look at what's interesting, if you look at the root chakra, which would be the sun mm-hmm. on the human body, and mm-hmm. then you go up Mercury, Venus, Earth, mm-hmm. Earth is the heart chakra. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that's by coincidence, right? Mars yeah. is the throat chakra. Mm-hmm. And this is where Da Vinci, and I don't even know where this information came from. It's just, mm-hmm. this is where Da Vinci and them kind of got things messed up, because the third eye is the moon, mm-hmm. okay. and the crown chakra is Pluto.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense. Pluto's on the edge. Mm-hmm. And when you think about our connection to God, is connected through our pineal gland. And all mm-hmm. this is tied together. So, and I'm going to go back to what Samuel Chong said, but when you break down, you look at these planets, I'm not going to get too crazy about the planets, but when you break down Earth was created in four parts,
okay.
inner core, outer core, mantle, crust.
Right.
You have four elements, you have four gases, you okay. have four points. Your body's made of four humors. The mm-hmm. Book of Gates says there was four human beings, which makes sense. This is where I call science stops with the non-conscious. Mm-hmm. Non-conscious is never spoken about.
Yeah.
But if you define non-conscious, mm-hmm. right, and understand it scientifically and add that to the puzzle, and there's four pieces of that puzzle: non-conscious, subconscious, unconscious bias, and consciousness. Mm-hmm. Four parts. Mm-hmm. We never talk about the non-conscious, because I think scientists are scared of that, because if you look at that, you would have to understand that in that direction and that mm-hmm. you know, have that pattern, that there had to be more than two people, two types of human beings put on this earth to start the humanity or whatever it was.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Based on the non-conscious. Because you had to have four different directions. It mm-hmm. makes sense. The earth is in four different directions. So when you talk about the non-conscious, it doesn't take in, you know, the part of your emotions and everything else. Mm-hmm. There's four directions. Four directions of four different human beings. But then going back to Samuel Chong, mm-hmm. he said in the Theoba prophecy that God created everything with four powers. And I was right. And I never talked to this guy before. And he kept going back to that. And he said, there's, you know, that's ancient knowledge that you're talking mm-hmm. about. And they said there's these plates in India that describes that. But anybody can check that out. I mean, the creation of four goes on and on and on. Hopefully that kind of answers your question. So that's why I think yeah. there is a God. And I think God has done this before, which creates the other scenarios that we're dealing with to try to figure out who we really are.
So when you said he's done it before, what's this in, done have a whole solar system somewhere else? Or is this a dimension that he's done before? Or is he just start from scratch? And
I think he's created life mm-hmm. multiple times mm-hmm. with different types of life, humans, whatever you want to call them,
in this
realm of the universe.
Okay.
right? And I think it's evolved.
Sure. Right? Yeah, that's interesting, because I was reading some of the Old Testament last night, and you notice how the ages of some of these prophets, they're so old. They're like 700, 800, 900 years old. How is that possible? I don't know. How do you explain that?
Well, think about this. If you're reading the Bible, talking about the creation of four, the number four in the Bible is creation. Okay. And then the cross is a four.
Okay.
You know, a good lawyer told me I'm too old to believe in coincidences, right? So what's your internal drive? Why are you so interested in this?
Yeah, you say coincidences. I follow the universe. I follow God for the signs that I'm on the right path, my right spiritual vocation. I like to do what makes me happy, which puts me on a higher vibration. There's an American writer called Jack Canfield. He's a motivational speaker. I really like what he has to say. He says, if it ain't fun, don't do it. But then he also says, you've got to look out for inspired thoughts when the universe or God, whatever, is nudging you in a certain direction. I think you need to go there. And that's what I've done. Because, you know, my day job, I'm primarily a musician. But at the moment, I seem to be, you know, put in this direction where I'm looking at these interesting things regarding aliens, God, UFOs, and trying to tie it all together. And my next film is going to basically try and tie everything together, the paranormal, spirituality, UFOs, aliens. I mean, it sounds like you've already got there with your creation four thing, which maybe we could feature that, because there's got to be some way of tying everything together into some sort of grand theory. Because you mentioned quantum physics earlier. I mean, that kind of points out that there's more to reality than what we know already. You know, you've got the spooky action at a distance. You've got quantum entanglement. We still don't know, you know, what drives these, you know, and why they happen. And we still don't know, you say, about consciousness. Where does consciousness lie? I don't think it lies in the brain.
I think I want to go back to the creation of four, right? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something to really blow your mind. Mm-hmm. So medical systems don't talk about your pineal gland much at all.
Right.
And, you know, I wonder why, because this has never been talked about. And I, like I said, I'm a natural healer, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a natural healer. I have native on both sides of my family. I have energy coming out of my right hand. Very strong. Like, I can feel your energy. And I think you're like a Scandinavian Norse bloodline. And possibly, I think that's your innate drive, just by the feel, because when I talk to somebody, if there's something energy around that person, I can feel it.
Okay.
Whether you're in talking to you, I can feel there's an upright, like when I talk to somebody or around somebody, there's an upright of energy. It starts coming out of my hand. It tells me that. So those are things that I feel. And then I started researching the pineal gland, and, you know, the fluoride in the water calcifies your pineal gland.
Okay, yeah.
And I've been decalcifying my pineal gland with this eye drops called Sanaga, which decalcifies it. It makes you clear.
Yeah.
But that's the data center. Your pineal gland is the data center for God.
Okay.
That's the data center for God. And when you look at the eyes that the Egyptians made, because everything the Egyptians made is a pure source. And I think all the Egyptians were the indigenous people around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all the salt of the earth people were the Egyptians.
Right.
So when you look at the eye, you got the slant this way, the straight line. That slant is a 1/4 slant.
Okay.
And it's in our head. And it's pretty hard to deny that. When you're talking about creation of four and God being connected to our pineal gland, and we have a bone that's a 1/4 slant. When I say 1/4 slant, if you put that angle on a flat surface, it's a 1/4 slant.
Wow. This is quite mind-blowing. I spoke to a Norwegian psychic called Terje Simonsen, very interesting chap. And he was talking about connecting to consciousness, to psychic abilities. He calls it the mental internet. But what you're saying is the pineal gland allows you to contact this source. You're calling it God.
I think that's God's data center. I think that's where he gets data from.
So the question is, how can we tell people to access this? And how can they, you're saying about fluoride's bad for it. I mean, luckily, we give our kids, I've got three kids, we have bottled water. It's a long story, but there's a lot of pollutants in the water. And we decided, my son wasn't very well. He needed, you know, so we have bottled water. We don't use fluoride in our toothpaste. So you're saying that's very, very important to clear it. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. 110%. Because the Sanaga eye drops I got from the Matias tribe in the Amazon. Okay. So there's a reason they do it. And they do it daily. And that, and it's just very odd to me that nobody's ever talked about the pineal gland.
No. Maybe we need to.
Yeah. But why, you know what I'm saying? Because it's hard to deny. It would be hard to deny if I say creation of four, and then you look in your head and you have a bone that has a 1/4 slant in your head. That's your pineal gland.
Yeah.
It's hard to deny that.
Sure. So your healing powers, is that connected to the pineal gland, do you think?
It's just, I mean, it just showed up. I don't know. I mean, like, I met shamans and this and that, and then I realized that, like, Reiki was a club.
Right.
You know, these things are clubs, because when I got my Reiki training, I was basically a master immediately.
Oh, okay.
Like, I had done this before. Right. And I haven't. It's very odd. It's very odd. And when I do get around Norse type of people, I think Norse people might have been the original people. And I think their skin color may have changed the more south they migrated, because, you know, the Scandinavians created a structural system that kind of set up the world, right? Because there was things that they came in and did that hadn't been done yet.
Sure.
You know, which is very, very interesting. I mean, people would be like, yeah, whatever. But when you think, because I think that when we talk about cultures and whatever, you know, I think skin color is just environmental.
Of course it is, yeah. Definitely.
You know, because the melatonin and stuff in the skin, and I think it's environmental. And, you know, a lot of people want to argue with that, but science has admitted to that. And we're still, you know, we're still living in the dinosaur thought process.
Yeah, we are still, we're controlled, aren't we, I think. It's funny you mentioned fluoride. My co-host Guy on our TV show, he was talking about similar effects from, what's the artificial sweetener in Diet Coke? Aspartame, I think it is.
Aspartame.
That has a similar effect. It stops you from raising your consciousness, your vibration, your energy. It keeps you kind of, yeah, controlled, I guess, not breaking through.
And I think the way things have been diagnosed, like, I think there's a lot of people out there that, like myself, like, I had to fight through the sensibilities. Right. Because if you don't understand what your sensibilities are and you're very affected by everything around you, it's hard to deal with that. And I think that's why a lot of people may lean to drinking or lean to drugs or whatever, because they're used to these feelings that modern medicine says is an issue. But I don't think it is an issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you drive people down these roads to inhibit themselves on who they truly are. And you may never know the true answer about who you are.
Yeah. I mean, I had a pretty traumatic childhood. Don't want to go into it too much, but it was a dark, nothing to do with me. It was a dark place, but I survived. Before this happened, I believe I had a paranormal visitation. At the time, I thought it was angelic. It was like an angel appeared to me on the wall. This bright light and face came out of the wall, told me that I was going to be all right. The next day, everything wasn't all right, but I got through my childhood, which is problematic. But then I kind of hid it all away, turned to drink a lot. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I was in a bad, dark place, kept myself to myself, but managed with the love of my wife to face these things, get through it. I no longer drink. I've kind of taken control of my mind in terms of not allowing those dark forces to have any effect on me now, really. So I understand what you're saying. People go through, crap in life and not dealing with it very well and feel constrained by society we live in, I think, and don't believe they've got the power themselves to heal themselves and to raise their vibration.
Well, the one thing I do is, like, one thing I was told by another medium, so forth, this girl, Rita Gigante. Her dad was Vincent Gigante, who was Vincent the Chin Gigante, who was head of the all five mafia families in New York City.
Okay.
And she was a very, very highly sensitive person and grew up in that environment, and she didn't know what she was. That's a kind of an example of, you don't know you're this highly sensitive person. You have this kind of wild childhood with this dynamic father and the mafia. Can make you go a little crazy if you're very highly sensitive. But she told me that if I'm giving energy to people, she said, go meditate, whatever, and let light energy come through your crown chakra. And this is another weird story. And I told this to Tony too, is, so when I started doing that, the first time I did it, I live near this harbor, the Charleston Harbor. Mm-hmm. And I walked down there where they let these boats in or whatever. And I went down there and meditated. Mm-hmm. I said, Jesus, God, you know, let light energy through my crown chakra and so forth. And I could feel it. I could feel it coming in, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was walking back and there's this one stretch of road, about 9 houses. And you get up to the very end of it, makes a dogleg left. Mm-hmm. And I look to the left after doing this. And you talk about vibrations, because heaven on earth, I think, is when you can slow down your vibrations enough where you can communicate with the animals and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking left at this first house and I see about 250 robins flying. I said, what the hell is this? Birds? I've never seen this many birds in one area. Is this a bird sanctuary or whatever? So I start walking, and as soon as I start walking, this bird, flock of birds come behind me, and there's 5 or 6 robin on the sides of my feet. They're like flying in front of me. And I'm walking. There's none behind me. They're all going forward. So I walk. They follow me, literally walk with me all the way down to the end of the road. Mm-hmm. And when the tree line stopped, they stopped. I made a left and didn't think anything about it. A week later, I look out my yard on a Sunday and I see the about 200 robins in my yard. So whatever that is, coincidence, whatever it is, I've never had robins follow me. There is some symbolisms about robins, but that was after the first time I started bringing energy back into my body so I could replenish to heal more people, I guess. Because I don't sell this. I mean, I'm a partner with TikTok. I'm a partner with Meta. I'm in production. I do my podcast. And this is not something I put out there for monetary gain. So yeah,
that's good.
I'm trying to figure it out myself. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess that's my mission really is to open people's minds, I think, and get them to think and take control of their minds, and that there's more to life than, you know, the 9-to-5 job that's grinding them down. Because my story, I like to think is a bit inspiring, because I kind of had my troubles, drank too much. I got into a lot of debt. I was, you know, misled by various investors and trying to do my
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Company and kept a lot of debt, kept it hidden from my wife, and it was been a really bad place. She found out about it. I had a failed overdose after she found out, but I got sectioned to a mental health unit. But then I got out. My wife gave me another chance. I stopped drinking. I took control, took responsibility for everything, cleared all my debts, started living at a higher vibration. And I now, you know, do music, films full time. And I'm lucky to be here. But I want to try and inspire others that are going through difficult times to, you know, that there is hope out there, but it's, you know, it's down to them to take control. It's easy to play the victim all your life, which is, I guess, what I did, because I had such a bad childhood that I was stuck in that mentality.
Now, was it your parents?
It was, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was satanic in nature. So it was dark.
Because they're feeling, you know, when you said satanic, you know, if they were gifted, if your parents were gifted, and they didn't know how to represent that properly, and they were highly gifted, people can take that the other direction.
Well, this is it. I think that's probably what happened.
I mean, what's the lineage of the family? Do you know the full lineage and bloodline and where everybody's from?
It's a bit odd, but there's some secrets, obviously, in the family. My grandmother, I believe, was half Indian. They lived in India at the time, and she was probably illegitimate, but she was half Indian. So, and then my auntie, and no, she was told she had clairvoyant powers. And so I think there is something in the family. Obviously, it got twisted. So yeah, probably right. There was a gift that was misused. Whereas, you know, I want to use it to help people, not to harm people.
Well, the fear energy and all that satanic bullshit, you know, is really weak energy at the end of the day. If you let it get to you, it will get to you.
Yeah.
But definitely. It really doesn't have any strength behind it.
Okay.
It's more about the person responding to it.
Yeah. And instigating their fear, I guess, response to it.
Yeah, because it's just like in Nigeria, you know, they've had so much trauma and things over there and in different parts of the country. There's almost two divided cultures, one dark, one is light.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really literally through experience and perpetuation of experience and fear.
Sure. I've had PTSD, I guess, because of this. And I've always, even now, I have to be aware that I go into fight or flight response quite easily. So I'm still healing myself from that, I guess.
Well, I can see it in, it's weird. I can see it in your eyes is where I see the Scandinavian part.
Sure.
You know, I don't know what tells me that or what it is, but, you know, the blue eyes and just the look. Yeah. And everything, there's something to that. You know, maybe if you dig into that side and see what resonates with you.
That's a good idea,
because you might have more going on than you realize.
Hopefully. I like that. But just going back, just want to get your opinion and what, you know, what do you think the aliens, assuming they exist, what do you think they are? What do they represent?
I think they represent energy. I think they represent energy. I think I kind of lean towards the Stephen Greer philosophy of they don't want to hurt us, because if they did, they would have already done so.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I think that anything that's being done based on fear is our governments.
Sure. Okay, that's good. I like that. I mean, I like what Stephen Greer says about that and how people can contact these entities themselves, really, through, I guess, meditation and focus direction.
It's really weird to me when I watch Netflix and, you know, I was in television and so forth. And some of these narratives, I think, are very contrived.
Right.
And it's almost like you'll hear a narrative out in the public and then there'll be some type of show come out that is similar, but a little different. Just a kind of twist. And it's almost like that's too much of a coincidence to me as well. You know, like, why? Why are you trying to mask a narrative and twist the thought process a little bit with programming?
Yeah, I mean, the CIA, I guess, that's what they've always done, is using popular entertainment to program. I mean, what I think is happening at the moment in the US especially is that with the UFO phenomena, whatever you want to call it, the US military wants to form the narrative that it's a threat to, you know, American democracy. So it's ramping up the military and ramping up the fear that these things could harm us. And I think people like Luis Elizondo kind of play into that a little bit, you know, although I admire him for coming forward and talking about it. But he always says, what are these things are here to do? Not very good things. But then, like you said, Stephen Greer, who's been investigating a lot longer, says they're not here to harm us, because, you know, it makes the quite valid point, like you said, that they would have already done that.
He said that 90% of the narratives out there are misinformation.
Yeah, I quite believe that. Yeah.
It's just like the zero point energy he talks about. When he talks about zero point energy, it's symbiotic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense as one. It you know, if we utilize that technology and utilize that energy he talks about, it would solve world hunger. Everybody could be self-sufficient. You wouldn't need gas. You wouldn't need power lines, anything like that. So the basis of it is in line with creation, because God wanted to create everything as one, right? And everything being symbiotic, right? So, you know, that's the thing I don't understand, is we have all this information in front of us and people just, divine could be sitting right in front of them and nobody does anything. Why do you think nobody does anything?
Why? Why don't they do anything? Because they don't perceive it.
Think about all the narratives out there right now. Nobody's really freaked out about anything. Have we been that dumbed down?
Possibly. I mean, what do you think about the climate change agenda? Do you think that's real, or is that being pushed on us? I mean, I have an environmental studies degree, so I understand.
How we get the information. Well, I interviewed an astronaut, and you know, an astronaut said one time that Earth could reset itself at any time, and you wouldn't even know that anything was here.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? The most dangerous thing is we have another pole shift, magnetic shift of the poles that would just wipe us all out. It's probably happened in the past as well.
But if the Earth is rotating, and different parts of the Earth are facing the sun that haven't faced the sun in a certain period of time, it stands to reason that, yes, shit's going to change. That's a tough one. I think there's a lot of percentages to that one. And I think there's a lot of things that are hurting the environment. But as far as the overall narrative, I think the overall narrative may be a little strong, you know, maybe kind of over the top. Follow the money.
Absolutely. Always follow the money. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's the poor working class people that are asked to make all the sacrifices. And they're the ones being hit hardest by it all, not the oligarchs and those in power. I guess that's my response to it. What are your thoughts on possible end times? And do you believe in second coming? And do you think that's...
I don't know. I think that a lot of the dark narratives that are, you know, planned to happen, I don't think they're going to happen. I think people are going to be surprised. And, you know, I think whoever this is going to go down fighting as hard as they can. And it may get worse before it gets better. But I think they're going to get some pushback.
Sure. Okay. And what are your thoughts? Because I go into it in the film a little bit. I speak with Professor Avi Loeb about AI and the role that AI will play in all of this. Do you think AI is a danger? I mean, I make the point that AI will never have a soul, which, you know, us humans have.
Well, I will say this about AI. When you think about a pure source, if something's mathematical, architectural, something that is, you put numbers in and you get the answer, it comes out the other end, you can get those answers a lot quicker. But I think if when you use AI that is based on human behavior and human data, if we don't reset the data, reset the information, the processes are going to be fast, get done faster, but you're still going to have the same outcome.
Yeah.
Because the AI only is going to respond on the data it's given.
Yeah.
So the people that are out here having a knee-jerk reaction about it, they just need to slow down because they're not going to get it right. I think they're 5 years away until they get it right, until these people and these entities realize that the data that we have is so convoluted and off. Most of the data people have is off 20 to 30% from a pure source. Yeah, let's continue to get bad answers instead of resetting, you know, resetting whatever it is to re-engage and build something properly with a foundation of demographics that is a pure information, right? Or birth things the right way with pure information.
Okay.
Because I think we're at that point where everything needs to be rebirthed, you know, rebirthed or birthed the right way. To me, I think they can use it as scare tactics, whatever it is, but it's not going to be 100% until people realize about the data that's out there that's being inputted into these systems.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that. My opinion on AI is that, like I said, it doesn't have a soul. Like you're a healer. You tap into God. You've got your pineal gland, you know, the God data receptor, whatever you want to call it. AI is not going to have that ever. Do you think?
No, and AI doesn't have quantum physics.
No, so that's not...
Because if you think about non-conscious, the non-conscious is the human body without emotion, right? There's a lot there that how's AI going to explain that non-conscious?
Yeah, it's not going to, and it's not going to be able to tap in to God, to the energy out there, to the universe. It's not going to get into higher dimensions.
I had Avi on the show as well, and he made me realize that, you know, these scientists are in one lane, right? And when I interviewed him, he was like, I've never been interviewed like this before.
I bet, yeah.
It's almost, and this is, and actually he triggered another mindset for me. That made me realize that 90, even the smartest people in the world, you know, they're all going at things with a discovery mindset, right? If you go at things with a discovery mindset, it's going to take you longer to figure out the answer, because he's just staying in his lane of discovery instead of going from a creation mindset.
Yeah.
Right. And connecting pieces outside of his lane that could give him answers. But because of the laws and stuff in science, they don't want you to do that for a reason.
Absolutely. I mean, fair to Avi, he is one of those scientists that will go there and look at possible extraterrestrial rocks in the ocean. And he's open to the mindset that there is life elsewhere. But like you said, he's in his lane set. He's a scientist. He's a classical scientist. I mean, he's pushing it a little bit for scientists, but I understand. I mean, I guess more quantum physicists might be more open to it because they see the weird things that go on with it that can't be explained. I think they're probably open minded. I spoke to her, you might want to interview her. It's a lady called Evelyn Hollow. She's actually a parapsychologist, but she's also a quantum physicist, and she's coming up with a theory where quantum physics can explain the paranormal, ghosts and things like that. What's your opinion on ghosts and paranormal and things like that? Do you believe spirits and things exist?
I think it's energy. I think when you haven't found divine, I think that could be hell. Sure. I think you stay here. I think you stay here. Your energy can get stuck in between.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I think God wants us to be perfect.
Sure.
And I think we're reincarnated.
Yeah.
I think this is just the beginning. Mm. I think for our lives, I think depend on where you reach divinity or divine based on God's interpretation of what that is, that depends on where you really go.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, a lot of what you're saying ties into, I don't know if you heard of this, the Aetherius Society at all. Have you heard of them? They were like a UFO religion. They're based in London, and it was set up by a guy called George King, who discovered meditation and yoga. This is like in the 50s, before it was popular, really. He went to India and discovered this. And through meditation, he tapped into something that gave him messages about God and about people, about energies, about the chakras and things like that, and about how people, basically like reincarnation, they're moving up to the divine eventually, or to planets, as he says, or they stay where they are, like you're saying. That's what happens. We never kind of die. The energy's still there. It goes to a different plane of existence. It's interesting anyway.
Yeah. Well, I've never, nothing has ever showed themselves to me. So I think based on how weak you are, that's where you can see stuff, because they're going to show themselves to you. But I've had people with me where, say, entities have been around, followed us home. I went into this bar one night, and I felt like a burning wood, like a very cedar wood in this bar. And it smelled completely different than I'd ever smelled in this bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is that? I didn't think nothing of it. And this person that was with me could see and whatever. And when we got home, there was something around us that we had to get rid of. But I mentally did a few things or whatever, and I went back in that bar and I never smelt that again.
Well, it's definitely, yeah. I mean, I've experienced things that, you know, come from elsewhere, I guess. But like you said, if you're in that fearful, dark place, I guess these things can appear.
Was it like, were you conscious or were you asleep or was it a dream or?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's been all of those, really. I mean, I guess it was more when I was younger, because there was dark things happening to me. So I think now that I'm happier, I kind of tend to notice, you said about coincidences. Well, I can't call them synchronicities, I guess. And I'm noticing them more and more. And I had a weird one. I think it was last year. I was on holiday in a small fishing village in England. It's called Kessingland in Suffolk. Very nice, small fishing village, not very big. We go there quite a lot. And I'm in a band called the Pocket Gods. Anyway, I put the radio on and heard my song. It's called The Perfect Blue. Quite a happy song. Played on the radio, national radio in England. It's a DJ called Steve Lamack, who's quite famous over here. And it's like, wow, it's brilliant. I've been played on the radio. I'm very excited. Okay. And then after that, some guy called in from the village, Kessingland, where I was on holiday, saying, you know, oh, great song. And this guy was in the same village and he phoned in. There's nothing to do with me. That's just a weird thing. And it kind of made me like, okay, there's something weird going on here. That can't be just coincidence.
It's law of attraction.
Yeah, absolutely. I use the law of attraction, I guess.
Yeah. tone, I think, well, that's part of my process. When you establish a certain tone, when you understand your foundation, you understand your sensibilities, you communicate with a certain tone. So the people you hang out with probably have a very similar tone to you. So by law of attraction, you have innately these things that are connected or attracted to. That is a natural thing. And we forget about law of attraction.
Yeah, I mean, I use it a lot. I mean, it was Jack Canfield that opened my eyes to it. And he's the one that said, you know, when the universe gives you inspired thought, you need to act on it. And the inspired thought that changed my life was I read a newspaper article about songwriting in England. And it was an American professor saying, why are songwriters still writing 3-minute pop songs when the likes of Spotify, Apple, etc., they pay out a royalty after 30 seconds, and it's not very much, so why write longer songs? So I took that idea and thought, okay, I'm going to put 100 songs on one album, all 30 seconds long. It's a crazy idea. Why would anyone do it? But I did it, and because of that, I got a Guinness World Record. I got many, many more year after year, and then I still hold the record for most songs on an album, which is 1,000 songs, each one 30 seconds long, just because some mad idea that I decided to run with. And, you know, because of that, my band's known all over the world just by following the law of attraction and following these inspired thoughts, which most people would think, well, that's just a stupid idea. Why should you do that? Why would anyone do that? It's ridiculous. That's what, you know, part of me was saying, but the other part, no, you've got to do it. This is the nudge from the universe to do it. And you know, that's what I did. And it basically changed my life for the better.
Interesting. Now, do you sing in the band?
I do, yeah. Sing, play guitar. I mean, this is the whole thing as well. It's like, I've been doing it 25 years. It's taken me 25 years to get to the position where I'm doing it full time.
I interviewed John Ilsley too.
All right, brilliant.
He's out near that area, England somewhere, isn't he?
He's a lot more famous than me, though. Is he still playing?
Yeah.
That's good.
But there's something, you know, talking about you and him, you're a little quieter than him, but a very somewhat similar mannerisms, because he's actually an artist, you know, and painter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we're talking about his sensibilities, and he's like, well, that's a personal question. And I said, well, I think that, I was like, well, I think that makes you an artist, you know, those sensibilities.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to feel all those things to create, I think.
Yeah. I that's my mission. I need to create. I've somehow ended up making films, which I enjoy even more than music. So it's, yeah, I'm just grateful. I mean, gratitude's a big thing as well. I think you need to be grateful for what you do have, not for what you don't have. And that's
absolutely.
Well, and we teach our kids that as well. And yeah.
I 100% agree with that. I talk about that all the time too, because, you know, Netflix programming is, you know, an algorithm. When I said this, I said, I bet you over 70% of their programming is dark based on their algorithm. And I think it was more than 70%.
Correct.
You know, so when you think about law of attraction and perpetuation of negativity, that, you know, resonates with society. And that's how society is. We start from what's wrong instead of, we always start things from what's wrong instead of what's right.
Well, this is it. I mean, that's why we stop watching the news and the mainstream media, because you're just getting fed this negativity and doom mongering. So we remove ourselves from that. We don't have TV in our house. I mean, we do. We can, you know. So our kids, they'll buy a DVD, but they don't have TV and haven't got that constant thing coming into the house to bring you down, basically, which is what it does. So,
well, talking about the film and so forth, where do we see the film? What's the story of the film and so forth?
It's called God versus Aliens. It's on Tubi in the US and Canada. And it's about the impact that first contacts or disclosure about extraterrestrials, that we are not alone, how that will affect the world's religions. It's got Professor R.V. Loeb from Harvard on it, Seth Shostak from SETI, Tony Topping, the alien experiencer, and the Reverend Daniel Thompson, who's a British reverend who's brilliant. Love his bits. And it's an hour long. It's a fascinating film. It will make your mind explode a little bit, but it's positive, and it goes through the Old Testament, possible signs of extraterrestrial involvement in the Bible. It's open-minded to most things, and it has a positive message. Thank you.
Nice. Well, I don't know if there's any, we talked a long time. I don't know if there's anything else we can cover, but the conversation went pretty quick.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. I really enjoyed chatting to you, John.
Nice.
Really grand. I'm going to have to look into that. And
yeah, dig into that. And then if you do the next film, let me know.
Yeah, I want you to be in the next film, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Let's do it. Well, yeah. I appreciate you coming on the show, Mark.
Thank you.
This has been Mark Christopher Lee. Check out his film, God versus Aliens. And my name's John Edmonds Cosma, the CEO of Bang Productions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.